of the warm Caribbean, I see a new world for you and me. I'd give anything just to have one single day there. And once we get there, I...
Welcome back on Michael Radio, listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark.
Like Bangkok, Hong Kong, Paris and Venice, Tokyo and Cairo and Lisbon and London, Siam, Siena, Vienna, Verona.
Marie Gates with us has a master's degree in psychology and has taught at various colleges and universities. She has spent the last 30 years researching the topic of reincarnation. And her latest book is Are We Our Past Lives? Soul Patterns and Personalities and Relationships. And let's say, Marie, hi, welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I feel honored to be with someone who has done thousands of interviews. I'm sure with a lot of authors.
Oh, it's been there. There's been a couple under my belt. And as a matter of fact, who knows?
Oh, okay.
There could have been a past life I might have done this before. We get it. What is it, Marie, that caused you to really take a look at the issue of past lives and take it on as a very serious topic and issue?
Well, I was an instructor at the University of Alabama when I met a student who knew a hypnotist who did past life regression. And when she asked me if I were interested, at first I thought, oh, I don't know. I really didn't believe in it. At the time, I was actually an agnostic. I didn't know what to believe. And it was not a comfortable feeling. I didn't feel good about being an agnostic because I thought, what if I should die suddenly in a car accident? What would happen? Would I just no longer exist? or would I go on to another world? Or what would happen? So I wasn't sure, but what made me go to the hypnotist was a very strange dream that I'd had. And it was in a different world. I was a woman with a man. We were human, but it was on a different planet or in a different reality. And this reality was so peaceful and beautiful that I did not want to leave it. And when my husband awakened me, I was angry. Of course, I made up with him later on. It wasn't a grudge that I ever held, but I wanted to be in this world. And so in order to maybe uncover a past life, I decided to go to the hypnotist. And we did uncover five past lives. And one was of a woman who was involved with someone from a different world. But again, he looked as human as you or me. And she'd had an abusive relationship with her husband, had two children, wound up leaving her family and going off with the lover from the different world. And they crashed when they were going to the mothership. They were in a smaller ship, and that was the end of that life. Now, I was really perplexed. I wonder how this could happen. Why was I having this strange dream? And then again, going into hypnosis and finding more information about it. So when we moved back to Michigan, this is my native state, my husband said, why don't you go and look and see if you can find any evidence of this past life in Connecticut? So I did. And as soon as I got into town, I checked into the hotel, and then I walked to the library. And I understood that where I would look to find people from the past would be in the city directory. Now, this family, my husband and I in that life, lived in the 1940s in this New Haven, and, of course, before that as well. So I looked in the 1940s in the city directories, and lo and behold, the husband's name was right there. And I give his name as a pseudonym in my book because I want to protect the privacy of the family. I gave his name as Jacob Randall. And so I looked up his name, and there it was. And there was my name in the past life and the address where they lived. So the next day I took a bus out to the building where they lived. And at first I looked at it and I thought, is this possible? You know, it was a liquor store. But I walked in the store, and I found out that there were apartments above and behind it, so they could have lived there. And I talked to the proprietor. He was a young man, and he was buying the building from the landlord from the 1940s, where that family had lived there. And so he gave me the name of the landlord and his phone number. I went back to the hotel, called him up. The old landlord gave me the name of the married name of the girl who had grown up there. And so I called her and started talking. And at first I thought, well, I better not say I'm looking for your mother in the past life. I just said I'm interested in genealogy. But she never asked me why I had chosen her family. I thought that was kind of strange. But she was a very open person, very friendly. And so she told me about her mother's life. It had been very rough, that she had to support the family during the Depression. She worked as a stenographer for the A&P grocery store chain. And the husband was unemployed for a while, working for the DPW. She had a very hard life because she'd have to work all day and then take the streetcar to home and then prepare dinner. And on Saturday, it was especially hard because she would have to iron the wash. They would send it to the wet wash because they weren't like in the suburbs where they would have clotheslines to hang their clothes. They would have to send it to the wet wash. It would come back wet, and they'd have to iron all day Saturday. They must have ironed the sheets and the towels and not just the clothing. So it was a rough life. And I thought, you know, it doesn't sound familiar from what I had said during hypnosis. She didn't make any mention of an abusive father. And so I asked her how the father treated her. Oh, no, he wasn't abusive or anything. And then I wondered about the man on the side, you know. No, there wasn't any. And so I thought, what's going on here? And but from doing my research on reincarnation, I realized that if anyone is to recall a past life, it almost always is because the death was either violent or premature. So then I focused on the death, and I said, how did your mother die? Oh, she was preparing the apartment for her brother, who was coming home after World War II, and everything had to be perfect. She wore herself out. She apparently had had an ulcer before. I'm not sure if it was being treated, but her ulcer started bleeding, and she had to go to the hospital. Well, I asked, where did she go? And it was to a Catholic hospital because that was the father's background, he insisted. And then it rang a bell. I had remembered myself as dying in a hospital bed with nuns in attendance. And when she said Catholic hospital, well, they would have been wearing their habits. When I was a young child, I didn't realize what Catholicism meant, and the nuns wore habits, but I recalled that. And then I also recalled my daughter being with me when I died. So I asked her if she was, and she said, yes, I held her hand. She had gone to the hospital to visit her mother before going to work. And it was 6 a.m. when the mother died, and she held her hand. Mm. And I still remember her and her long wool coat and scarf. That's what they wore in those days. And there it was. It was my memory that I had from childhood that no one could explain. My mother said it was a dream, but I know it wasn't a dream because I recalled it while I was awake. And I was born almost to the day 3 months later after Amanda died.
Now, Marie, let me hold you up for a minute. Let me hold you up. Let me ask you a couple of things. I've been listening very intent to you. Now, how many past lives did you have?
I have been able to uncover 19 past lives. Okay. Some of them were from hypnosis, and others of them were from spiritual healers, which I focused on, and Are We Our Past Lives.
Okay. Now,
a chapter for nine of these past lives.
Okay. Now, was there an overarching theme through each life. You know, the lesson to be learned in a life, whatever that may be for every individual, is it the same lesson? Is it in the 19 lives, was there an overarching theme? There's something that you didn't get and you had to keep coming back to get it done, or did you get it done and have to move on to the next one? There's got to be something that ties them all together.
Okay, there are personality characteristics. That's why I call the book, the subtitle is Soul Patterns and Personalities in Relationships. Everybody has a certain personality that come into life with. It's designed to help them resolve their karma from past lives. And I can only give examples of individual personality characteristics or relationship challenges, you might say,
sure.
And that go from one life to another. Now, one that I have in mind is from the life that I was able to investigate the most was that of Jacob Gruber, who was a minister in the 19th century in the Methodist Church. He was a circuit rider, but he also was stationed at certain churches. And I was able to go to one of the churches where he was pastor in Baltimore. Well, the thing about this life was he was a very good man. He was religious. He was very charitable. He gave the church a lot of money, even though he didn't have much himself. He was sacrificing himself all the time. Like, instead of stopping for food at a tavern, he might just get food from the people that he was working with. Like, he might be staying with the family when he was on the circuit. So in many ways, he was a good man, but he had one, I would say, fatal flaw, and that was he was arrogant, and he pushed his values on other people. I think this might have been common, and maybe still is today among certain ministers, where they think they're right, and everybody else, if they have behaviors that the minister doesn't agree with, they come down hard on them, like Jacob Gruber would pull cigars from men's mouths. And one time he got sued for it, but he won. He won the lawsuit. Also, he got in a great deal of trouble for speaking out against slavery. This was, of course, before the Civil War. He died in 1850, and he went to court over that. But he was exonerated, but he complained about having to spend a lot of money for his defense. But I think the biography, The Life of Jacob Gruber, was written mainly because he was somewhat famous for going to court for speaking out against slavery.
Hmm. Marie, we're starting, let me hold you up. We're starting to run out of time. We're starting to run out of time.
Oh, we are.
That's okay. No, you're delightful. Let me ask you this. Is there a website we can find you at?
Yes, it's Marie Gates. MarieGates.com.
Okay, and it's Marie Gates.
That's the website.
Wonderful. And if somebody missed it, it'll be up on our website.
Okay,
by the way, where was the hypnotist at? What state?
This was in Alabama. He is now deceased.
Okay. All right. And by the way, thank you so much for joining us. I've appreciated your time.
Oh, thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.